Amen. Amen. What a blessing to be here this morning. You please pray for us. We sure are nervous. Amen. But nervous in a good way. Amen. 2 Timothy, please, in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, please. We'll begin reading in verse number 11. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 11. Paul said, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast that the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygilius and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." We'll stop reading there for time's sake this morning. Would you go to the Lord with me as we seek his face? Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege once again to come before thy throne. I thank you, oh God, that we can say along with the songwriter, it is well with our soul." What a privilege this morning to have peace in our heart, peace with God and the peace of God. We know that that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, this morning we need you. I confess once again my inability. I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So, Father, would you get me out of the way? And I pray, oh God, that the sweet Holy Ghost would take charge of your servant now. Oh God, I pray that you'd set a watch over our lips. Keep the door of our mouth. Lord, may we say those things that you won't say this day. And oh God, I pray that you'd help our hearts. Would you convict us and challenge us and change us by the good grace of God today? And most importantly, I pray that you'd receive all of the glory and all of the honor. Help each man of God that am out the pulpit today, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we look at the book of 2 Timothy, we know that it's the last book that Paul would write under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. One writer has said, if you want to know what someone's made of, look at their last words. And we find the last words of the Apostle Paul here in this precious book of the Bible. Oh, we often look at chapter 4, as Paul said in verse number 6, "I am now ready to be offered," amen, "and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul was saying, it is well with my soul. He said, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Oh, with all my heart, that's my desire this morning, to be able to say when I come to the end of this race, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith." Oh, but Paul, in this writing, he shares with us some people, some characters in each of these chapters who that was not their testimony, Brother Josh. They could not say that they had finished their course. They could not say that they ran well. They could not say that they had kept the faith. And with the help of the Lord, I want to look at those real quickly this morning. We've seen in chapter number 1 in our reading, as Paul mentioned two men, in verse number 15, he said, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygilius and Hermogenes." I don't know if I'm pronouncing those correctly, but it sounds pretty good to me. Amen. We don't know much about these characters, but what we do know about them is that Paul said they turned away from me. I want us to realize this morning that certainly we all, as preachers, as pastors, we all find those that will cause defection. They are defective when it comes to the gospel of Christ. These are apostates. And certainly we are living in those Jude days, aren't we? Where there is a great falling away from the faith. Amen. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Did not Paul say that in Ephesians chapter 4? But there are some, my friend, who are defective when it comes to the gospel of Christ. And not only, my friend, do you find Phygellus and Hermogenes, but there's always a crowd that will follow them. As Paul said, this know that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Amen. You find those who cause defection. But then notice with me chapter number 2 real quickly. Chapter number 2, and notice verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If there's ever a word for the church today, there is a word. Amen. We must study to show ourselves approved. Certainly, I have not arrived. I am not, my friend, the example this morning. But listen to me. Much preaching today is very shallow. Amen. There's no substance to it. You can tell there's not been that much studying involved in the process. Amen. There's a lot of internet surfing and throwing together an outline. Amen. Paul said, listen, in these last days, you better study to show yourself approved unto God, and you better learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Why, Paul? He said in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You'll find in chapter 1, Phygellus and Hermogenes, who caused defection. You find in chapter 2, in verse 17, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they cause division. Notice he says their word doth eat as doth a canker. And you begin to study that word a canker, and it gives indication of gangrene. Amen. That disease that will eat away, my friend, and will cause infection. And also ultimately death if it is not taken care of. And my friend, we're facing in this day and hour those who would creep in unawares, as Jude said, in the side door. Amen. Many of them even carrying a King James Bible in their hand, and they slip in, my friend, and they get in the Sunday school class. Amen. And they get in the choir law, and they get, my friend, with this group over there, and their word doth eat, the Bible said, as doth a canker. Amen. There are those that we face that cause division. Notice chapter 3 with me. He says in chapter 3, of course, these well-known verses of Scripture. He said, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And that always amazes me that Paul lists that in the midst of these grievous sins: unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And surely we're seeing that today. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And certainly that describes this generation today, ever learning. There's more facets of education than we've ever seen before. We live in an ever learning generation, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It reminds me of Romans 1, where Paul said, professing themselves to be wise, they become as fools. Amen. And notice verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. He mentions two other characters here, Jannes and Jambres. And I believe we could say these are those that would cause deception. We don't know much again about these two characters. We are believed to know that they are the magicians who were able, my friend, to emulate, if you will, to copy the miracle of Moses or Aaron as he threw down his rod and it became a serpent. Pharaoh's magicians were also able to copy that miracle, but you'll be reminded, amen, that Aaron's rod, amen, it conquered, it swallowed up, amen, those magicians' rods, amen. But we find Jannes and Jambres, they are able to copy, if you will. They are able, my friend, to set forth a false power. They are deceptive, amen. And oh, it is traditional. Now, the Bible doesn't say this. This is not a biblical record. But in studying this, I found out that traditionally among the Jews, that they believe that Jannes and Jambres, that they went up out of Egypt with the children of Israel into the wilderness. And it is believed, Brother Montgomery, that they were instrumentally involved in the making golden calf, amen, that they worshiped in Exodus chapter number 32. And I'm telling you, men of God, we are facing Jannes and Jambres in these day and hour. They are deceptive, amen. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, amen. I don't know about you, but I like that old time power, amen, that touch of the Holy Ghost of God. I preach with it and I preach without it, but I've been long enough to know this. I don't ever want to be without the power and touch of a holy God on my life and ministry. There are those who are deceptive. So many know what to say and where to say it. We figured out how to sing it right here and sing it right there. Amen. We've learned, my friend, to animate ourselves. Amen. And listen to me. Listen to me. I believe it's so dangerous in this day and hour. We never, my friend, need to try to replace the power of God with ability or charisma or talent. Amen. Or personality. Amen. I don't know about you. Let me get on my soapbox for just a minute. I'm sick and tired of Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and this great preacher, amen. We've got an all-star lineup. I believe we ought to give honor to whom honor's due, amen. But listen, my friend, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody, amen. Listen to me. I believe we need to leave the place this morning saying, not what a preacher, not what a song, not what a sermon, but what a Savior, what a Savior, what a Savior, what a Savior, amen. Jannes and Jambres, they're deceptive. Look at chapter 4 real quickly. He said in verse number 6, again, I'm ready to be offered. Time my departure's at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Oh, I want to be able to say that. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come unto me. And notice what he said. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There are those who cause defection. There are those who cause division. There are those who cause deception. And there are those who cause desertion. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this evil world. Oh, we find from the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon, that at one time Demas certainly was a fellow laborer, was a fellow worker, amen, was a fellow partner, was a fellow preacher, amen, in the gospel work. I believe all that we've looked at up to this point are not truly born again. They are apostates, amen. But I believe if there's any that are saved out of this crowd that we're looking at this morning, I believe Demas truly was saved. And I believe what hurt the Apostle Paul more than ever before, Brother Ramsey, I believe it was a dagger in his heart when he seen Demas walk away and go the other way and put his face toward Thessalonica. We know that Thessalonica was a commerce city. It was the big city. And no doubt Demas got his eyes on the things of the world. Amen. And I don't know what caused this. I don't know if he got his eyes on those things, if the ministry got too hard. But we, regardless of what happened, we find that Demas forsakes the man of God. And every preacher sitting here this morning, you have somebody like that. As soon as Demas is mentioned, amen, your mind went to so-and-so. Your mind went to so-and-so, that individual that you poured your life into, that you loved, that you stood by them, that you helped, amen, that you ministered to. And oh, my friend, it hurts so bad to see them go out the door, to see them go into another direction, amen. Here, are, and may I say this, a friend Demas says, never leave alone. They always take somebody with them. Oh, and it hurts so bad. Oh, it hurts so bad. Demas, look what he said, had forsaken me, Paul said. There are those who caused desertion. I'll give you one more look at verse number 14. He said, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Obviously, we understand from history, Alexander was a very popular name in this day and hour, especially amongst the Greeks. But Paul said, just in case you're wondering which Alexander it is, it's the one who's the coppersmith. Somebody said, you shouldn't mention names from the pulpit. Paul said, there's one I want you to know about. His name is Alexander. And in case you're wondering which Alexander it is, it's the coppersmith. And Paul said, he did me much evil. There are those, my friend, which cause defection. There are those which cause division. There are those which cause deception. There are those which cause desertion. And there are those which cause defiance. Oh, listen to me. There are those within our congregation and there are those without our congregations, my friend, that defiantly stand against the work of God. Amen. Let's make no bones about it. My friend, the devil does not like what's going on here. He does not like Gateway Baptist Church, nor does he like your ministry that God has placed you in. He hates you. Amen. And my friend, he has his puppets out there, his pawns, who will be defiant to everything you stand for. But I'm thankful Paul does not end with these men. If I had titled the message this morning, it would be one word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. It means in spite of. Regardless, there may be those, my friend, who are defective when it comes to the cause of Christ. There are those, my friend, who will cause division. There are those who will cause deception. There are those, my friend, who will walk the other way and desert you. And there are those who will stand in defiance against you. But may we stand as the Apostle Paul this morning and say, by the good grace of God, nevertheless, in spite of all that, by the good grace of God, I'm going to stand. Amen. Look what he said in verse number 12 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse number 12. Amen. He said, for the which cause so I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why, Paul? For I know whom I have believed. He said, I've got a strong faith. And my faith's not in the church. And my faith's not in the man of God. And my faith's, my friend, not in a doctrine nor in a creed. But my faith is in a sovereign God who's on the throne this morning. Who's in control? I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded, amen, that He is able, that He is able, that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. There may be those who are defected and those that will turn away, but by the good grace of God, my faith is not in those men. My faith is in an eternal God who never changes, who is immutable, who is consistent, who is steadfast. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, you know whom you have believed this morning? Notice he did not say, I know what I have believed. He said, I know whom I have believed. This thing's about a person, friend. Amen. I know whom I have believed. He said, I've got a strong faith. Look at verse number 19 of chapter 2. And I'll try to hurry and finish. Chapter 2, verse 19. Again, he said in verce 17, their word doth eat as doth a canker. And friend, I tell you, it's hard when that gangrene begins to spread through the congregation. He said, their word doth eat as a canker already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, nevertheless, the foundation of God stand assured. Amen. Having this seal, the Lord, my friend, knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He said, nevertheless, I have a strong faith. He said, nevertheless, I have a sure foundation. He said, the foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. Thank God there may be those who turn away. There may be those, my friend, who try to cause division and false doctrine, and my friend, and cliques and all those type things. But may we stand sure this morning on the sure foundation that God has given to us. And may we rest assured this morning that the Lord knows them that are His. Amen. Amen. There are those who are deceptive, as he mentions Janice and Jambres, who try to emulate and copy, my friend, the things of God, who have a false power, amen. But may we rest assured again this morning that the foundation of God standeth sure, amen. And may God give us Holy Ghost discernment in these days. I like what Brother Eddie Davis said. I believe he's quoting Spurgeon when he said, discernment is not, my friend, knowing what's right from wrong, but it's knowing, it's the ability to know what's right from what's almost right, amen. That's true Holy Ghost discernment right there, friend. That's exactly right. And may God grant it to us this day and hour. Amen. We have a sure foundation. I'll close with chapter 4. As he says again in verse number 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he greatly withstood our words. Verse 16 is heartbreaking to me. Yes, sir. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Look what he said, verse 17. Notwithstanding, we could say, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. We have a strong faith. We have a sure foundation. We have a standing friend. You may face some Demas. You may face some Alexanders. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes again, preacher, it feel like your heart's breaking in two. You get in that little study. Sometimes you feel all alone, Brother Whittemore. Oh, I wonder, as Paul's writing these words, is his heart breaking as he thinks of Demas going another direction? And God, the Holy Ghost, said, Paul, all men may have forsaken you. Nevertheless, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. yes, hallelujah. I believe God's always the majority, friend. Amen. Your whole congregation may turn against you, but friend, as long as you're standing on this blessed book, bless His holy name, He will stand with you. Notwithstanding, he said, the Lord stood with me. Look what he said. Not only did he say he stood with me, but he said this. He strengthened me. I'm done this morning. I don't really have any sad stories to tell. But I have faced some of these things that Paul faced. I'm very sure not to the magnitude he faced them. You have as well this morning. And I'm very sure there's been some times where you felt like you couldn't crawl in the pulpit again. I'm very sure, choir member, there's been some times where you felt like you couldn't get in that choir loft again. I'm very sure, preacher, you felt like you just can't do it. Just can't do it. I can't do it another day. I can't go through another Sunday. About 5 years ago, we were going through some things at the church. Well, I remember those days. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd elbow my wife and say, honey, I got to go. But I'd make that little drive up the hill. Nobody there in that auditorium. I'd crawl in that pulpit. And I'd think to myself, man, there's just no way I can do it anymore. There's no way I can do it anymore. And I remember. And I wish I could tell you that the first time that I crawled in that altar, that God said it's going to be okay. But He didn't. I wish I could say the second time. It didn't. Brother Bonifacius, good to see you. A solid year. Man, it seemed like I was all alone in that pulpit. It seemed like, man, a good night. It seemed like my prayer and my preaching was just bouncing off the walls. I mean, I was doing what I knew to do, what was right. I was preaching, amen, praying, studying, doing what I was supposed to do. But I remember, my friend, of the very moment that God, the Holy Ghost, amen, breathed upon my heart and said, I'm with you, son. And He put strength in my soul. Nevertheless, amen. Let's stand our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the good help. Lord, I pray you take thy word, write it upon the tables of our heart this morning. Please touch Brother Shelton. I thank him so much for this opportunity. I pray, oh God, that you bless each preacher that'll stand this morning. God, give them unction. And God, please give us listening ears. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Thank you.